And ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to another edition of Awesome Mania. I'm Michael Lindebaum, being joined, as always, by your undisputed champion, who's eating a cookie.
No, I'm not.
Who has a cookie in his hand.
Yes.
Mr. Ben Taylor.
Now I'm eating a cookie.
Introduce him, he eats a cookie. Yeah, it's been a while since we did our last episode, but yet again, schedules kind of gets in the way. We were going to try to record last weekend before TakeOver, but because I had to work four straight days of doubles, it didn't happen.
Yeah. So, it's kind of good that it didn't. Now we can kind of wrap Clash and
TakeOver together.
TakeOver into one show.
Yeah, and then...
and their various fallouts.
Yeah, and then obviously next week we could probably get together and do a post-draft episode, being how tomorrow or today, air quotes today, because we're recording on Thursday, October
8th. Tomorrow as of time of recording.
Yeah. It is October 8th. This is going to release on October 9th, so at the time you hear this, it will be the first day of the draft for WWE. And so, yeah. Which Ben learned of it moments before recording.
Mike's like, yeah, and then they released the draft pools. I'm like, wait, there's a draft?
Yeah, there's a draft. They're doing it the exact same way they did it last year where they do...
well, no, over two nights.
Yep. So let's hop in the news and notes. I'm going to take care of a bunch of the WWE. Ben, you're going to take care of a good amount of the AEW.
Yeah.
So real quick, Samoa Joe was on Wild On with Taylor Wilde, and he discussed his in-ring career. He noted that he is not done in the ring by no means. He's just working on other projects right now, and also he's enjoying commentary on Raw. And one of the big projects that he's also working on is the Suicide Squad game, which he is voicing King Shark, which actually is really cool. And that's also a game I'm looking forward to. We're going to talk about this now, but we'll get a little bit more into it when we talk about NXT TakeOver. But there's a lot of injuries that took place between TakeOver and last night on NXT. The matchup between Finn Balor and Kyle O'Reilly saw both men suffer injuries. Finn Balor suffered a broken jaw and oral lacerations. We'll get a little bit more in depth on that in a moment. And Kyle O'Reilly suffered contusions and a swollen liver. But it's also been noted that he also suffered some broken teeth. But there's no real confirmation on that. The next one, this has to possibly be the most gruesome of them all, which happened last night live, and that was Ridge Holland, who they had just started doing the big build with the Undisputed Era and Adam Cole. Ridge Holland, when he cut Oney Lorcan, suffered a left ankle dislocation and fracture and a right knee patella dislocation and ruptured patellar tendon. He actually patella. That's what it says here. Ruptured patellar tendon.
You mean a patella?
Yeah. But he actually underwent surgery today to work on the to help fix the injuries for Ridge. It's weird because when you watch it live, it looks like nothing. But when you watch it slow down, you see how his legs were when he went to catch Oney Lorcan. You can actually then see the issues with the ankle and the knee.
It looked a lot like when Psycho Sid jumped off the second rope and just liquefied his leg.
Yeah,
it was gross.
Yeah. Going back to Finn, the jaw injury that he suffered is reportedly not as bad as the company is making it out to be. It was noted that he had a broken jaw in two places and that he's going to be on a liquid diet. It's note that typical recovery time for a broken jaw is around 6 weeks. I can attest to that because that's how it is for jaw surgeries in general. So that's kind of the deal with Finn. They're actually not going to strip him of the title, as we learned last night, because this is one that is being viewed where he may be back and able to defend within the 30 days, like is usually put in the rules. And it also should be noted that Finn actually called an audible to end the match early at TakeOver 31 because of the injuries that both him and O'Reilly suffered.
That much was clear.
Yeah. Also, WWE is apparently keeping quiet on Kyle O'Reilly's status following TakeOver 31. Fightful Select is reporting that there really isn't an update on O'Reilly as of today. And they weren't really getting any updates on O'Reilly from backstage at the taping last night. So there might be some stuff where they're just keeping a lot more. But O'Reilly did openly come out and said that, you know, he took a really stiff kick to the liver in the match. Which we will talk about that match because...
Chef's kiss.
Riddick Moss actually stated that he had been wrestling with a torn ACL for a while. He actually had been dealing with it for the past 2 months. And he pretty much said that he's taking this time now to actually just get himself better and heal up. So good on him. I want to skip that for a second. To kind of keep around the NXT for a little bit. NXT unveiled the Capital Wrestling Center at TakeOver 31, formerly the Performance Center. When we heard that they're going to be remodeling it, that's what they remodeled it to. It has its own unique, like, Thunderdome-type feel to it with the virtual crowd, but they also had a physical crowd, which actually were brought in groups, I think, of 10. Everyone was tested, medically screened, and they had to take a questionnaire, and they also had to keep their mask on at all times, but unless they're drinking water, which they were supplied with plenty of water and hand sanitizer throughout the venue for where they for where the actual people were for fans. And
so what were your thoughts
on the overall look of it?
Yeah.
I like the overall look. I think the fencing at ringside, while it gives an interesting aesthetic, I think it's a little overkill with the boards, especially the fact that when you saw certain matches and they're outside the ring and they're over at like the barrier and stuff, and they grab onto the fencing and it literally just pulls out. I think after seeing that type of stuff happen, I think they should just get rid of the fencing. I wasn't able to watch NXT last night because I was recording with Sasha for Nerdy Notions, but I was following along obviously on Twitter like I do. I like the fact that they brought in the virtual fans, and not only that, but you and I had talked about how there had been rumors that NXT TakeOver was going to be like the NXT debut in the Thunderdome at Amway Center. And by doing this, it gives it its own feel and its own energy.
So the reason why they didn't do stuff in the Amway Center is A, the Amway Center thing is coming to an end, and B, Vince is convinced that the positive COVID tests on the main roster came after said people made contact with NXT superstars. So this is an effort to isolate NXT, basically. On top of that, one of the things you'll notice if you look at the Thunderdome when you're watching Raw and SmackDown, the video walls are placed in a tiered seating sort of arrangement, right? Like you would see at a movie theater,
yeah,
or in an arena.
Yeah.
Right. The ones in the NXT setup, it's a flat wall, right? And it doesn't work as well, in my opinion. It doesn't read as well from certain angles. From hard cam, it kind of looks the same, but like when you're at any angle other than hard cam, it looks way weirder. And I don't know if it's just me, but the chain link in front of the
plexiglass?
No, in front of the monitors reads really weird on the TV. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah. No, it's actually that kind of attests to something like with the NHL a little bit, because they have that netting behind the nets.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they use, most arenas will actually use white netting or a clear netting because it's better for television. It's also better for the people who are actually sitting in the arena itself to watch the game. Whereas certain arenas that use black netting, it kind of gives a weird aesthetic and kind of blurs that vision a little bit. So I definitely get what you're saying on that one.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, I mean, it's, I didn't watch NXT last night, so I didn't get like that second look of looking at it. But yeah, I mean, it's something that, you know, will be interesting to see. And it should also be noted that the relationship with Full Sail has not ended.
No, it's just a temporary thing.
Yeah, this is a temporary thing. They also felt that by bringing NXT over to the Performance Center, creating the Capitol Wrestling Center, or remodeling it into the Capitol Wrestling Center, it limits how many places they're using. So Amway Center for the main roster, Capitol Wrestling Center for NXT. And it's just those two places that are being used outside of that warehouse that they're using for training for the NXT students. So it's a smart decision. It's beneficial to both Full Sail and WWE to do this temporary, you know, quote unquote split. But yeah, I anticipate to see NXT back in Full Sail when things kind of get back to a little bit of a norm. So, and then last thing of news that I have is the WWE draft. The rules for the draft.
You're not going to talk about returning superstars or?
Oh, yeah. So we had at TakeOver. Actually, you know what? Let's save it for TakeOver.
Okay.
Because it actually is part of TakeOver.
Okay.
Yeah. So let's save it for TakeOver. Because we did have two returns at TakeOver. So the rules for the WWE draft have been released, and
One thing I do want to add, I'm sorry, before we get into the draft.
Yeah, sure.
Is they've made a big deal this week about the fact that Andrade and Angel Garza split up. Even though they split up like 3 weeks ago and then got back together, and then split up 2 weeks ago and got back together. So hopefully they're actually just split up now.
From what I've read, it is the case. but we'll find out. So back to the draft, rules have been released, pools have been released, NXT is not included, which was something that a lot of people were asking Triple H, and he was like, I don't know. Like, Vince tells me this stuff. But obviously the first night of the draft will be this Friday, today when you're listening to this, tomorrow at the time of recording, on SmackDown, and then Monday will be the second day of the draft, just like how it was last year when they split everything up for when Fox came into play. So here's the thing. This is the quick general rules that we're given. Over 60 male superstars, female superstars, and tag teams have been placed into the 2020 draft. More than 20 superstars are eligible to be drafted on Friday night, and more than 30 are eligible to be drafted on Monday night. Due to the length of each show, for every two picks that SmackDown selects, Raw will get three picks, just like every other freaking draft. Tag teams will count as one pick unless Fox or USA Network. Oh God, they're doing this part again. For the record, this is actually my first
time. They're going to celebrate over drafting Natalia again. Pricks.
For the record.
What?
This is actually my first time reading the rules. Because I've been doing other things all day today. Tag teams will count as one pick unless Fox or USA Network, in conjunction with WWE officials, want to pick one superstar from the team. Any undrafted superstars will be immediately declared free agents and able to sign with the brand of their choosing. It should also be noted that Stephanie McMahon will be on hand both nights to conduct the proceedings just like she did last year. You ready for the pools?
Sure.
So here is the pool. There are separate pools. This is tomorrow night's or Friday night's group of superstars who can be drafted. Asuka, Sasha Banks, Bianca Belair, Dana Brooke, who just went over the Raw with Mandy Rose. Explain that one. Humberto Carrillo.
You're acting like WWE has any kind of plan.
This is also very true. Well, it gets better when I get down there. Elias, Angel Garza, Drew Gulak, Heavy Machinery, The Hurt Business, Mickey James, Lucha House Party, which is all three members because they're technically not broken up yet.
So The Hurt Business is all four members of The Hurt Business?
Yes.
Okay.
Drew McIntyre, Murphy, Ray and
Dominic. Whoa, the champions are draftable?
Yes, Asuka was the first one on the list.
Huh.
Rey and Dominic Mysterio as a tag team. Naomi, The New Day, all three together.
Who was a tag team?
Rey and Dominic Mysterio. Roman Reigns, Ricochet, Seth Rollins, Mandy Rose, LOL. Shayna Baszler, Nia Jax as a tag team because they're the tag team champs. Shorty
but
G.
They don't, but they could go on any brand.
I know. Shorty G, AJ Styles, and Jey Uso. The superstars who are eligible to be drafted on Monday are Andrade, Bayley, Aleister Black, Alexa Bliss, Daniel Bryan, Carmella, King Corbin, Apollo Crews, Nikki Cross, Dabo Kato, who isn't even on a brand.
Right.
Dolph Ziggler, Robert Roode as a tag team, Eric of the Viking Raiders, although he just went out for surgery on his arm.
I thought Ivar went out.
No, Ivar had neck surgery.
Okay.
Eric actually had, I think it was elbow or shoulder surgery.
Okay.
No, he had elbow surgery earlier this week because he was like, Ivar's out hurt. I'm going to take time to actually let my body take care of too.
Okay.
Deal. Lacey Evans, Charlotte Flair, Jeff Hardy, Billy Kay, Lana, Keith Lee, The Miz and Morrison as a tag team, Riddick Moss, who we just mentioned is out due to ACL surgery.
Yeah.
Natalya, Titus O'Neil, Randy Orton, Kevin Owens, R-Truth, the entirety of Retribution. So that's Mustafa Ali, T-Bar, Mace, Slapjack, Reckoning, and Retaliation.
Reckoning or Retaliation.
Mia Yim and Mercedes.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. Matt Riddle, the Riot Squad as a tag team, Peyton Royce, Arturo Ruiz, who's technically NXT.
Yeah. But he's Sheamus, appeared on Raw Underground.
Yeah. Sheamus, Shinsuke Nakamura and Cesaro as a tag team, the Street Profits, Braun Strowman, Tamina, Akira Tozawa, Zelina Vega, Bray Wyatt, and Sami Zayn.
Okay.
That is the Monday night pool.
So, are there any notable people missing? Was Braun mentioned?
Braun is on Monday night.
Okay. Could you imagine? They do all this work in this storyline and they put Alexa on a different brand to the theme.
That would be interesting.
No, it would be dumb.
Is Bray...
Yeah, he's on the Monday night. He was like the second to last one you said.
Yeah, okay, there he is. So, I'm actually just looking at it real quick. I don't think if Roman was actually on is on Friday nights.
Mm-hmm. Roman and Drew are both on Friday.
Yeah, so I could see. I don't see Roman or Drew switching shows. I definitely see AJ moving to Raw.
I'm not too sure about that. It would depend on who else moves to Raw.
Yeah, I mean, well, the thing is that, if you also kind of look at the current storylines right now, you have Hell in a Cell at the end of the month on the 25th. Uh-huh.
And they've already confirmed Jay against Roman.
Yeah. And they've also confirmed Drew versus Orton. Although, did I say Orton's name? Yeah, Orton's for Monday night. Mm-hmm. So they've already confirmed Drew and Orton and Roman versus Jay again for Hell in a Cell.
Yep.
I don't know what else they've announced yet, but... The one thing that's definitely going to happen is whatever show Roman Reigns is going to be on, AJ Styles is not going to be on that show because of Paul Heyman.
I disagree.
I could see John Morrison going to Raw and Miz staying on SmackDown.
Yeah, I can see the split in those two up for sure.
I know that there have been rumors of quote-unquote splitting up the New Day and putting Kofi on Raw and Big E on SmackDown and having Xavier Woods as both of their managers, or as manager of both of them, which technically keeps the group together, despite being on separate shows. I would really like it if Kalisto and Grand Metalik and Lince Dorado got drafted away from Kalisto. Mm-hmm. Because I really like Metalik and Dorado as a tag team.
You just like it because one of them has a Megazord outfit.
That was before the Megazord outfit, but yeah, we'll go with that too. I've honestly never been a big fan of Kalisto.
Nah, me either.
I remember when him and Sin Cara were a tag team, the Lucha Dragons, and the botch fest that they had with Buddy Murphy and Wes... Blake and like to take the NXT tag team titles off, and I was like, oh my god, why? Mm-hmm. This match was horrible. NXT doesn't come up with a lot of bad matches. That was a bad match. I think they've already planted the seeds for Drew Gulak and Braun Strowman to go over to Raw. Because
Braun at least.
Well, they've had Gulak on Raw.
Underground.
Because of the 24/7 title.
Right, yeah.
So I think they've kind of started planting the seeds for Gulak to move over to Raw as well.
Yeah, maybe.
I could see Evans maybe moving over to Raw just to give her a new look. I think they're going to split up Billy Kay and Peyton Royce.
Yeah, they'll be on different brands.
Yeah, I don't see Lana or Natalya moving to a separate brand because I know.
I see a repeat of last year where SmackDown drafts Natalya and then has a massive celebration afterwards.
But I see Lana.
What?
I see Natalya and Lana being on the same brand together because they've been building them up as a tag team.
Right.
Not a successful one, but they've still been building them up as a tag team.
Right, but Lana's also gone through a table at least 3 times since Miro debuted on AEW. Just saying.
Yeah. I definitely see Andrade and Angel Garza getting split up on the two different shows.
I disagree. I think those two are going to feud for a while. I think they're going to feud till, like, WrestleMania.
And I think we can both agree that, why isn't this being done after Survivor Series?
A similar thing happened last year.
Well, right? Last year was a different scenario because of the whole Fox thing.
Right. Coming in. But it was set up as an annual draft.
Yeah. So, let's see here. I just want to... let's see here. So, as we've noted, however, teams do not have to be picked as a unit. Recent rumors suggest that John Morrison could be heading over to Monday nights. And it's possible that he could be drafted separately from The Miz in that scenario. Similarly, if WWE really is looking to move Big E to a different brand from Kofi, we could see that play out in this draft. Raw Underground mainstays Dabu Kato and Arturo Ruas are eligible to be drafted. Mojo Rawley went undrafted last year, and WWE didn't even bother including him on the draft list this year. Lesnar is also not on this year's draft list, which could indicate that WWE doesn't expect him back anytime soon.
He's not under contract, so.
Yeah. And then again, he didn't really adhere to last year's draft results anyways.
That's not the point, though. The point is, if they would have Brock Lesnar on the draft list, they would have an uncontracted wrestler on their draft list.
Yeah. It's noted as Eric of the Viking Raiders is eligible to be drafted, but Ivar is not. Similarly, same thing with Jey Uso is eligible, but Jimmy is not. That's obviously because of injury reasons.
Yeah.
Nikki Cross and Alexa Bliss are not listed as a tag team. Neither are Lana and Natalya. Zelina, Andrade, and Angel are all listed as individuals.
Yep.
Drew, Roman, and Asuka hold three of the WWE's top championships right now, and they will be drafted during Friday night's episode of SmackDown. And other champions who will be drafted on Friday include Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler, as well as Bobby Lashley. We haven't seen Charlotte Flair since WrestleMania.
No.
Since TakeOver. Yeah, since
when
the takeover. Yeah, which in
the Io Shirai.
Yeah, it was In Your House. That's what it was. We haven't seen her since TakeOver In Your House. She is on the draft list for Monday night. So we'll probably find out which branch.
Quite frankly, I'm enjoying the women's division a bit more without her there.
Yeah, it's kind of refreshing when you kind of take out certain names for a while.
Yeah.
And then bring.
I hope they take Bayley and Sasha out for a while. Soon.
Similarly, Daniel Bryan has been off television for a while, and he's also on the draft list for Monday.
Uh-huh.
But the key thing is that all champions are eligible. So for Monday night, for Friday night, it's Asuka, Bobby Lashley, Drew McIntyre, and Roman Reigns. And then on Monday night, it is...
Aren't Shayna and Nia on Friday night as well?
Oh, yeah. And Shayna and Nia are on Friday night. And then on Monday night, you have both tag team champions of the Street Profits and Nakamura Cesaro. You have the Intercontinental Champion in Sami Zayn. And you have the Women's Champion of SmackDown in Bayley.
All right.
So... And then, obviously, R-Truth is also eligible on Monday.
We've talked a lot about the draft. Let's move on.
Yep. So, with that, it's time for Clash... Oh, no. It's time for AEW talk. So, Ben, take it away.
Fuck AEW. I'm sorry. What? So... a couple of things of note. Number one... is Cody has come back, and last night, as of time of recording, was in a dog collar match. Yep, out of the blue, they went from Cody coming back to a dog collar match. There was no storytelling in between. It was just like, yeah, let's just go to what is considered one of the most brutal matches of all time.
It's like almost as if Cody never left and they had been feuding the entire time.
No, it isn't. It is because they just put the title back on him. But they just got this unearned payoff match, right? Like, Brody Lee put Cody out. Cody came back. Brody Lee went dog collar match. And Cody went, okay. It's like...
But that's what I'm saying. They're acting like they have been doing this huge buildup.
No, they aren't. That's the thing.
But that's the thing, though. They haven't been doing it.
Because... No, but they aren't even acting like there's been a buildup.
Oh, man.
It was literally, right? It was literally... Cody gets put, quote-unquote, put out and loses the TNT title to Brody Lee, right? We got like 4 weeks of other people fighting Cody's battles for him while he was off recording another TV show. Dustin had a match against Brody Lee for the TNT title. The announcers were busy putting over, oh, Dustin's fighting for the good of his brother and the Rhodes family name. And at exactly the same time, there's a fucking commercial running going, hey, my name's Cody Rhodes, and I'm in a talent show, and I'm a judge. Come see my talent show. Oh, I'm doing a talent show. Guess why I'm out of... guess why I lost the title? It's got nothing to do with the match that's going on in the ring being so... Yeah, I'm doing a talent show with Snoop Dogg. And then, like...
That was just great. I'm sorry. That was beautiful.
The next week... He's like, hey, I'm back, but I got black hair now. And everyone's like, oh, this is a very different kind of day. It's like, yeah, he's dyed his hair black. And the moment he comes back, he puts 5 in the figure 4 leg lock for a little while. In the back, Brody Lee cuts a promo going, damn it, Cody, let's have... a dog collar match. The next week, Cody like, cool, let's have a dog collar match. And then they have a dog collar match. There's no build. None. Zero. They're not even pretending.
They can't even do that right, damn it.
And then last night they also did the 30th anniversary for Chris Jericho.
Which, right? Congratulations,
which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
You... COVID denying motherfucker.
Sturgis.
Yeah. Sturgis won't be a super spreader event. They said.
Yeah, it affected around 250,000 people.
Yeah, something like that.
Good job.
Big claps.
For the record, we're being sarcastic. We're actually not happy about that at all.
No, we're not. Yeah,
we're not happy about that at all.
Being that one of us is, at least one of us is immunocompromised in this conversation.
I'm technically at risk due to nose and throat issues that I have.
No, I'm literally immunocompromised. Yeah. So,
yeah. So you're definitely.
Yeah. Yeah. I haven't been outside in nearly a year.
Makes me still glad that we did that one episode together at your place in January.
Yeah. Yeah, me too. Then they announced that next week will be the anniversary special of AEW Dynamite. Mike.
Yes.
What is wrong with this picture?
The fact that it the 1 year anniversary of Dynamite is October 2nd.
And what date is it next week?
Let me pull up the calendar super quick.
It's the 14th.
Yes, it is the 14th. That is 12 days later. Hey, AEW, there's this thing called September 30th. It was 2 days before your actual one-year anniversary.
Right.
Although I will admit, I enjoyed seeing the pictures and stuff on Friday and Saturday from when we
had
to go to the debut of Dynamite.
I remember going to that first show, and all of us, me, you, Matt, Morgan, Brian, Mike Jones from DC 101.
Yeah, Penrod was
Penrod.
There.
We were all so hopeful, right?
And only one
and
of
I
us.
I knew something was wrong. The moment that the women's title match, they neglected to announce the fact that Nyla Rose was from DC. I knew there was a problem.
And then also right. Keep in mind when you're in your main event and Moxley comes out and attacks Omega.
And there's no DQ.
And there's no DQ.
Right in front of the referee. Yeah.
Yeah. But Omega wasn't the legal man. So we're going to let this no, that's not how it works.
Yeah.
Might I add, there's only one person in this entire group that you mentioned that is still extremely into AEW. Morgan.
I watch it every week. I watch it every week.
But what I'm saying is that he's like you and I. We see the flaws of AEW. We call AEW out on it, and we want to see AEW work on those flaws. Morgan looks past them and just goes, "AEW is the greatest thing out there." Period.
Speaking of flaws,
by the way, I love you, Morgan. You know it's all out of love, man.
Speaking of flaws. They've done it again. They have done a piece of absolutely stellar storytelling on Being the Elite. If you haven't seen it, go watch this week's BTE. And there is an absolutely stellar moment between Hangman and Brandon Cutler. And it's the sort of thing that should be on TV. But for some reason, it's not getting put on TV. I don't know why. It's just not.
You know, I think, you know, I've been getting that feeling that for AEW, they are more of a hardcore fan promotion than they are a casual fan promotion.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, you talk about, like, how many people watch Being the Elite on a weekly basis?
Well, this week's episode currently has 171,000 views.
Okay. So, 171,000 viewers of BTE are watching AEW Dynamite.
Mm-hmm.
And AEW Dynamite had around a little under a million again. I know what the
depression I'm literally just looking at. Wednesday's Dynamite episode drew...
I know they both
753,000.
Okay, so 117,000 out of 750,000. So you have 117,000. That is like what? An eighth of your audience?
141,000.
Oh, 141,000.
171,000, sorry.
Yeah, 171,000. So you're looking at maybe I won't even say a quarter of your audience. That was probably about a sixth of your audience, maybe, that actually knows the storylines from Being the Elite that's going on Dynamite. Whereas the majority of your audience doesn't know what the hell's going on with what's going on with Hangman Page because they're not watching the Being the Elite. They don't know what's going on with Brandon Cutler because they're not watching Being the Elite.
Yeah.
You know, they're like, I mean, hey, great for Being the Elite, 171,000 views. That's great.
Yep.
But you got to look at that other, what is it? Like 500,000 people that are watching Dynamite. That's 500,000 people who don't.
581,700 people.
Yeah. So almost 600,000 people essentially don't know what the hell is going on with a lot of your storylines.
Yep. It's an, and I'm not talking about they cut a promo, right?
No, what, because you sent it to me at the timestamp. And that's just not any promo. That's a fucking masterpiece of storytelling right there. You know, pretty much Hangman Page challenging Cutler to say, see if the Young Bucks are actually going to come to ringside with you and actually support you in your match.
Yeah, because they didn't for me.
Yeah, like, that is great freaking storytelling. You know, and that needs to be on Dynamite.
Yeah, but, it, but and, it's not.
And that's the thing. I have said this before.
Instead, we get some garbage like an unearned dog collar match.
Yeah, and it's like the thing I've said several times. If AEW were to actually start putting their storytelling on Dynamite, I would probably watch it more.
Yeah.
Because I now know what is going on. I now know why these guys are hating each other and what's been building up between them and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone can shit on WWE all they want, but at least they're consistent on putting storylines on television. Do some build on social media. They do build it up on social media, but they really put it on television. So the casual viewer who's first time tuning in can go, oh, so that's what's going on between Kevin Owens and Aleister Black.
But to follow up on the anniversary show for next week, we've got two matches announced so far. Orange Cassidy and Cody for the TNT title. Because for some reason, Orange Cassidy deserves another shot at it. Rather than giving a shot to someone new.
I mean, honestly, I'm genuinely surprised that, you know, like, I know Cody and Brody Lee did their, like, signs of respect to each other, like, on social media and stuff, but, like, if I'm Brody Lee, I'm going, like, bitch, I want my title back.
Yes. And then best friends are getting their number one contender title shot against FTR.
They don't have to go through all these other matches after being ranked number one.
Not this time. No. They just they came out to the ring and they're like, hey, we just walked past Tony Khan backstage and he said our title shot's next week. And FTR were like, damn it. So.
Hooray. I mean, I think that will be a good match between FTR and Best Friends.
Yes, it will be. And it will be an exceptional match. I think that will be a very good match to watch. And don't get me wrong, as much as I'm saying they did it again and all this stuff, the matches that AEW put on in the ring continue to be stellar, right? They continue to be really, really good. But that's not all. It's working for ROH in the Pure Tournament, sure, but that's the entire point of the Pure Tournament, right?
I mean, you look at, like, when WWE did, like, the Cruiserweight Classic and the Mae Young Classic. That's the point. there really isn't much storytelling. It's matches. So, anything else for AEW's?
I'm sure there's plenty of stuff for AEW's, but I don't know, man. Like, it's getting exhausting. Getting exhausted, man. In what I think should be brought up, I don't know whether this counts as AEW, but on the show last night, Hiroshi Tanahashi put a promo video out because they had like people sending in like congratulations Jericho kind of thing, yeah. Right? Hiroshi Tanahashi from New Japan Pro Wrestling sent a video and was like, I hope to face Jericho again. And it should be noted that recently in New Japan, Harold Mage, the guy who was in control, is no longer in control at New Japan. And he was the one that was the major barrier between working with New Japan Pro Wrestling and AEW, because he held a grudge against Kenny and the Bucks for leaving when they did.
Yeah, because I think around the time that they left was when New Japan was getting ready to start doing like the WWE, or not the WWE, the US stuff.
The US stuff.
Yeah.
And the moment they left, nobody was interested anymore. So now that he's gone, New Japan seemed to be more willing to be talking about talent trades.
Yeah.
So,
especially the fact that you've had, you know, Jericho come over with the AEW title, which was obviously a one-shot deal during that time. You have Moxley go over there. Under the deal that he has, obviously they can't now because of the pandemic. But yeah, it'll be good to see how that is. It should be noted though that as of right now, there still is no working relationship between the two. But hopefully this is, you know, Tanahashi doing what he did, which is also similar to what The Rock is doing for Ken Shamrock for the Impact Hall of Fame, where The Rock is submitting a video.
Difference being The Rock is not under contract to the WWE.
Yeah. Which is kind of weird, knowing like, wow, The Rock is going to do something for Impact, but yet again,
he's doing it for Ken Shamrock.
Yeah, he's really doing it for Ken Shamrock, because Ken Shamrock has been very open about how much The Rock has meant to his career.
Yeah.
So, but yet again, if you look at it now, Impact and WWE technically have like a working relationship with each other at this point now. Because of like the video packet, like the documentaries and stuff, like for AJ Styles and Samoa Joe, and you can even say for Drew McIntyre when he was Drew Galloway in Impact, like there's been a working relationship between the two companies at this point now. So
yeah, because
I actually think WWE actually gave footage of Ken Shamrock to Impact for his Hall of Fame.
Yeah,
so which is actually good on WWE to do that type of stuff. You ready for Clash?
Sure. Right,
let's do Clash. So for Clash of Champions, I'm just going to run through the card real quick.
Mm-hmm.
On the pre-show, you had Cesaro and Shinsuke Nakamura defeating...
Before you talk about that, let's talk about how things got shuffled around. The women's tag title match got removed.
Yes.
Right?
The women's tag team.
It was never said why, but it is assumed that one or both members of the champions were quarantined.
Yep.
Right? And there was something else as well. It was another match.
The women's title match between Nikki Cross and Bayley.
Yes, Nikki didn't compete. So we'll cover that when we come to that match, though.
Yeah. So pre-show, you had Cesaro and Shinsuke Nakamura defeating Kalisto and Lince Dorado to retain the SmackDown Tag Titles in 10 minutes and 45 seconds.
Not a bad match.
Not a bad match, but note that time of 10 minutes and 45 seconds.
Yeah.
It's going to be important.
Yeah, it is.
To kick off the main card, you had Sami Zayn defeating Jeff Hardy and AJ Styles to become the undisputed Intercontinental Champion in a ladder match.
What a ladder match, dude.
That's a great way to start the card with those three
guys. I feel really bad for those three dudes. There wasn't a crowd there for that.
Yeah. That lasted 26 minutes and 35 seconds. Next up, you had Asuka retain the Raw Women's title over Zelina Vega in 7 minutes 5 seconds. You had Bobby Lashley retain the U.S. title over Apollo Crews in 8 minutes 15 seconds. The Street Profits retained the Raw Tag Team titles over Andrade and Angel Garza in 8 minutes and 15 seconds. Asuka defeated Bayley by disqualification for the WWE SmackDown Women's title in 3 minutes and 45 seconds.
Yeah.
This match obviously was supposed to be Nikki Cross versus Bayley.
Yep.
Which, as of this time, at the time of recording,
it has not happened.
Yeah, they still have not said when Nikki.
We've not actually seen Nikki since.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see when Nikki finally gets that title shot.
Or if she's okay.
Yeah, because you and I had originally been talking about how which few needed the title more, Alexa, Nikki, or Bailey, Sasha. Which we both agreed that Alexa, Nikki would be the feud.
Yeah.
Next up, you had Drew McIntyre against Randy Orton in an ambulance match for the WWE title, which McIntyre would retain in 21 minutes and 35 seconds. This, I felt, went a little too long.
Yeah.
And then Roman Reigns retaining the Universal Championship by technical knockout over Jey Uso in 22 minutes and 55 seconds. Also, a match that went too long. Now, remember when I said no?
I disagree. Well, I think it was the right length. I just think Jey got in way too much offense.
Yeah.
The whole point of this match was that it was uncomfortable. Right? That ending was uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Right? That ending that lasted like 5 minutes should have lasted 10 minutes. Yeah. The closest Jay should have got to any kind of fall was the Samoan drop. And from that moment on, Roman should have been like, all right, I'm not playing anymore. And just broken Jay in half for 15 straight minutes.
Yeah. Now, remember I said note the time at 10:45.
Mm-hmm.
A pre-show match was longer than the Raw Women's Championship,
yep.
United States Championship,
yep.
Raw Tag Team Championship,
yep.
And the SmackDown Women's Championship.
I will forgive the SmackDown Women's Championship because they obviously had to put that together at the last minute.
Yeah, and I right. forgive it too. I'm just putting it in there.
Yeah.
Because of what it means. So a pre-show match was longer than four matches on the main
four card. Of the 7 matches on the main card. Yeah.
Yeah. And then obviously the ladder match had the longest runtime. Roman Jay went the second longest, mm-hmm. followed by Drew Randy Orton with the third longest. And I still say that the ambulance match went a little too long. Like, I get why. I mean, you end up finding out more why the next night on Monday Night Raw.
Yep.
When Randy Orton, like, took out all the legends when they were playing poker and stuff. So I get why now they did the whole thing they did with them at Clash. But honestly, it should have been Orton going over with the ambulance match.
I'm not sure about that.
Yeah, I mean, if they're intent on putting it on Orton,
I don't think they are at this point.
Yeah, I don't know. It's really weird.
And if they do, they miss their opportunity to do it.
Yeah, because the ambulance match was the opportunity.
Yeah.
But
I want to go back to talking about the main event, man.
Yeah.
I loved this. Apart from the fact that Jay got in far too much offense, right? I loved this match. The fact that Roman was just methodically hurting him, right?
And also, like, pushing the ref away and saying, this is family business. Like, stay out of the way.
There was a great moment where Roman was looking down at Jimmy, Jay, and he was like, tell me I'm the chief. Tell me I'm the chief. And Paul Heyman on the outside went, you're the chief. And Roman went, I do not want to hear that from you, Paul. I want to hear that from him. Right? And Roman, Paul was like, it's great.
You got it, boss. You know? Yeah.
But yeah, Roman and Jay, it was such a good match. It was, it, like I said, other than Jay getting in way too much offense, it did exactly what it needed to do.
And you know, now that they're going to have Jay versus Roman, and it's most likely going to be inside the cell.
Yeah.
I think, you know, you said Jay got too much offense in the match at Clash. And this is how I kind of view it. Now that we know that they're going to Hell in a Cell, you kind of look at it in hindsight. They did that to build up to this moment of where you're going into this inside the cell, where Roman uses the cell to utterly physically destroy Jay completely at this point.
Where do you go from here with this storyline with Roman?
So
I know where I'd go.
So there's rumors that post Hell in a Cell, the Usos are going to align themselves with Roman and Heyman. And they're going to become like a Samoan death squad for Paul Heyman with Roman as like the tribal chief.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of think that's where it's going to go because Jimmy's going
to
be like...
I'm not asking where you think it will go. Where do you want it to go? Because I know where I want it to go.
See, I really don't know. I'm kind of just like watching it and kind of seeing how it just unfolds in general.
Okay.
You know. Where do you want it to go?
Well, if it was me, I'd have the Hell in a Cell match play out, right? And then the next night on Raw, I'd have... Or on the next SmackDown, right? Depending on how the draft thing goes, right?
Yeah.
I'd have Jay and Jimmy come out. And
Jay is just like really taped up because of...
Yeah, and Jimmy's talking smack into the microphone and Jay's like, don't do it, dude. Don't do it. And then Roman comes down and obliterates the injured Jimmy. And then it's just a series of just horrible shots of him dismantling these two injured brothers, right?
His two injured cousins.
Well, but no, but they are brothers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But to him, he's not looking at it as...
Yeah, he's just looking at it as food, right?
Yeah, he's just looking at it as, I'm beating the crap out of my two cousins.
And then... The next Raw, or next SmackDown, the next show that they are on, right? I'd have Rikishi call him out. I'd be like, what the hell, dude? And then I'd have Roman kill Rikishi. And I mean literally kill him. Like, just destroy him. And I would bring in Sean Maluta, who's part of the Anoa'i family, right? I'd have Roman run through Sean. I'd have him run through... a couple of other people, and then finally, right, it comes down to Roman has run through every member of the Anoa'i family on the roster except one. Nia Jax.
I thought you were about to say The Rock, but...
They're in the ring, and Nia's confronting Roman, like, what the hell is going on with you, dude? And at this point, we're at, like... We're post-Royal Rumble at this point, right? And Roman spears Nia Jax and is laying waste to her with a chair when, if you spell... And it sets up Roman Rock for WrestleMania, right? At which point Roman beats up The Rock and finally takes his spot at the actual head of the table. That's how I would do it.
So at the end of the day, you would just build up to the end where it just be WrestleMania Rock versus Roman.
For sure. But it would be through the systematic destruction of the Anoa'i family.
See, I think everyone would love your destruction of Nia Jax.
Yeah. Just kill her. Kill, like, Naomi, anyone that is even slightly related to or friends with a member of the Anoa'i family is meat on Roman Reigns' table.
Tamina,
all of them. They're just fodder.
I could also see on top of that, like, you know, like the Usos being with Roman at that point too. But the way Roman treats Jimmy and Jay as his underlings in that, like, faction, one could say, could also be like a tipping point to have The Rock come in at the same time. Because it's like the Usos are under Roman. And, like, if they lose a match, he gives them holy hell and stuff like that. And it's like The Rock comes out, hey, man, you're abusing the family. Type of deal. So I can also kind of see a little bit of that kind of mixed in, sprinkled in there as well. Any other thoughts on Clash?
It was way better than it had any right to be.
Yeah, it definitely wasn't a bad pay-per-view. It kind of stunk that we lost out on the Nikki Cross Bayley match.
Mm-hmm.
And then obviously we lost that tag team match, which ended up being on Raw, I believe, this past Monday.
Yeah, and the Riot Squad got rolled.
Yeah.
Shayna broke them. There's this really cool picture of Ruby Riott in the Kirifuna clutch. And the subtitle is Record Scratch. Bet you're wondering how I got here.
Moving on to NXT TakeOver 31.
Oh, sure.
I find it interesting that they just went with TakeOver 31.
What would you have called it?
Honestly, with Halloween, I mean, we're gonna talk about it in a little bit, but because it was in the month of October, I would have probably gone with Halloween Havoc. But they're now saying
they're already having a Halloween Havoc event.
Yeah, which is gonna be like a regular NXT episode, but special title of, you know, Halloween Havoc.
Yar.
On the 28th, hosted by Shotzi Blackheart.
I don't get the Shotzi Blackheart thing. Like, I know that she's like she howls at the moon and all that kind of thing, but I don't get Shotzi Blackheart. I don't think she's as good as everyone puts her over as being, but it's just me.
I'm actually right there with you on that one. So there were a couple dark matches. We don't know the results to them. It's just Zai Lee versus Ann Lee and Zulis and Danny Burch versus Daniel Vidit. Again, it doesn't say who beat who. I would assume Zai Lee and Danny Burch. So going on to the actual card itself, you had Damian Priest retaining the North American title over Jonathan Q Wrestling Gargano in 18 minutes and 39 seconds. You had Kushida defeat Velveteen Dream by submission in 13 minutes even. Man, they screwed that up on NXT TV last night.
Did they?
Yeah. So Kushida is taking on Tommaso Ciampa to open up the show.
Mm-hmm.
Velveteen Dream comes out and attacks Kushida. And I'm like, they just did the best thing to write off Velveteen Dream for a while.
Yeah.
And they screwed it up already on...
I think we need to face up to the fact that he's not going anywhere.
Yeah. although, interestingly, leading up to TakeOver, Triple H openly said in his presser that immaturity has been a problem for Velveteen Dream. Which has affected him both professionally and personally.
Oh, for sure. But when it comes to the other accusations that have been leveled at the young gentleman.
Yeah. Oh, I'm not talking about that stuff. I am. I'm talking about storyline-wise. They had a great opportunity to write him off television because of what Kushida did to him in that match at TakeOver.
No, I'm aware of what you're saying. But what I'm saying is it's clear to me they don't want to write him off television.
Yeah. Next up, you had Santos Escobar. Retaining the Cruiserweight title over Isaiah Swerve Scott.
Great match.
15 minutes and 14 seconds. I'm going to need your help on this one, Ben, because I can't remember it. Io Shirai retained the Women's Championship over...
Candice Q Wrestling LeRae Gargano.
Okay. I couldn't remember how you had it for her in 16 minutes and 45 seconds. And then,
AKA the person that should have joined the Undisputed Era.
Yeah. Post match for Io Shirai, Candice LeRae, was first we actually got a video message from Toni Storm saying that she is officially on the main NXT roster now and that she is coming for the Women's Championship. And then we finally got the unveiling of the mystery person, and you better believe it because it ain't Bo Dallas. It is Ember Moon, which, by the way, we should give a shout-out to Ember for this because after she came back, she actually did the Bo Leave tweet because everyone thought it was Bo Dallas.
I wish it was Bo Dallas.
We could still have a chance of getting it to be Bo Dallas, but
it
is Ember Moon, which is a great thing because there was obviously doubt because of her injury, which is the same one that Xavier Woods suffered with the Achilles. So it's really it's
great insofar as that she can come back.
Yeah. To see where it goes and stuff like that.
And I'm sure her and Io will have a great match when it comes to it, right?
Yeah.
I know. However,
I'm
not the biggest Ember Moon fan.
Yeah. I know last night they had Ember and Ripley team up against Dakota Kai and Raquel Gonzalez. Mm. And then in the main event, you had Finn Balor retaining over Kyle O'Reilly, the NXT Championship, in 28 minutes and 28 seconds. Which, as we said at the very beginning of the show, chef kiss.
Oh, I'm rubbing my nipples just thinking about this match.
That's oh God, I shouldn't have put the screen. Oh God, no. Oh. So for the record, we're on Zoom. We both can see each other. But I actually have the video covered with another window so I can read the card. And I went over to the Zoom window and there he is just rubbing. Oh no. God damn it, Ben. I'm going to go cry in the fetal position.
What a match, dude.
But no, in all seriousness, it was
what an amazing a match.
Really good. And here's the thing. I think I was saying it to you, or it was our friends over at Big Gold Belt podcast, was saying that it was a really good bell-to-bell technical hard-hitting
match.
The thing that is most impressive is if you watch that match, they go to the floor exactly once. Which in an era of dives and Tope Conhilos, I mean, Tope Conhilo is one of Finn Balor's signature moves, right? But the exception is the one time that Kyle gave Finn the dragon screw through the ropes. They go to the floor once. Yeah. Otherwise, it's just in the ring and it's two dudes wrestling. And it's great.
Yeah, it was really, like, I really can't put in the words how great the match is outside of it was a great match.
Just go watch it. Just go watch it.
Yeah,
it was a night of returns and retentions.
Yep. And we know Uncle Dave will find a reason not to give it a 5-star match. But that's definitely a 5-star match.
Well, don't know about that. Also, who gives a shit?
Yeah, I know. I just really wanted to say the line about Uncle Dave, that's all. Because I know you would take, I know you would laugh.
Yeah.
Wow, yeah, we're really like 2 months away from the Uncle Dave list of awards, aren't we?
Yeah. We're 2 months away from the end of the year, dude.
This has been a weird fucking year.
You ain't lying.
I mean, all the concerts, conventions.
Points at outside world.
Yeah.
Right? Just.
Like I was saying, like all the concerts, conventions, the NXT show we were supposed to go to.
Speaking of concerts and conventions, something we did not bring up during news and notes, dude, is that Florida is opening like 100%. And being
whether or not they're going to. Certain things are going to do it, that's another story.
And being that WWE and AEW are both currently based in Florida.
And considered essential businesses.
Yeah. They have the right now to run full arena shows if they want to.
Which is interesting to note that because DeSantis, the governor of Florida, went pretty much said, I think he specifically went to the Miami Dolphins because I think they're the next home game. Which is, I believe, October 25th.
Yeah.
And he told him, you can go full capacity with the 65,000. And the Dolphins said, yeah, no thank you. We're probably going to go with 15% capacity still.
Yeah.
So there is going to be pushback from, like, teams like the Dolphins and stuff like that. And I'm pretty sure AEW is also going to kind of push back on that a little bit too. But what it really does is it really opens the door, not for, say, right now, but for WrestleMania.
Well, they've already moved WrestleMania back to Tampa.
Not officially yet, because apparently there is still some legal stuff that they're trying to deal with Los Angeles.
Mm, okay.
To get out of SoFi Stadium. But it is known that, yes, WWE wants to bring it to Tampa. They want to run a full stadium at Raymond James Stadium. Because they're already looking at booking all the venues nearby for, like, Access and Raw and SmackDown and stuff like that.
They're trying to kill people, man.
And but here's the other thing on top of that, because there's been a lot of talk when the Amway Center contract expires, if they don't renew, of the possibility of WWE potentially traveling. And a lot of talents are not keen on the idea of traveling.
Mm-hmm.
They don't like the idea of it right now because we don't have COVID-19 in check in this country. So it's very interesting to kind of see where that is kind of going.
There's also, and I don't know whether this is news or not, but talk about has resurfaced about the whole Twitch and Cameo thing. Right?
Yeah.
With WWE apparently trying to force talents to stream and take like 30% of their revenue. And it'd be considered a breach of contract if they don't.
And also that it would go towards their downside guarantee.
Yeah.
Which also brought up interesting tweets from Paige and Selena Vega.
Yeah.
About unionization.
And I think it was what one of the more keyed in reporters said that the people they spoke to backstage would not re-sign if this was forced upon them. So.
And we know that Andrew Yang, who is a Democratic presidential nominee or hopeful at this point, he was a hopeful, has openly put Vince McMahon and the WWE on blast.
Yeah.
And has stated that he hopes that if Biden went, keyword here's if, don't jump down my throat, people, I'm saying if Biden wins, that Andrew Yang can be part of his cabinet, particularly on the union and labor side of things, so he can go after WWE to force them to unionize. And
Yes. Because how does any of that sound like independent contracting?
Yeah, and that's the point of what Andrew Yang is getting at. And he wants to go after WWE, force them to unionize, force them to remove the independent contractor label and make them actual employees, give them health benefits and all that other stuff, and like the whole shebang. And so yeah, there's a... And like AJ, he did his regular Twitch stream yesterday. Yesterday at time of recording,
mm-hmm.
where he pretty much says, I don't know what the hell's going on. I found out about the whole thing like everyone else did and found out about it online. You know, I still don't know what's going on. The communication for this whole thing sucks, mm-hmm. and they need to fix it. So, yeah, it's an interesting...
And you're not wrong, AJ. I mean, you may be a flat earther, but you're not wrong.
So, with that, let's get away from some negative stuff. Let's get the positive stuff. So, Ben, you actually already know your positive.
Kyle O'Reilly. I've been a big fan of Sleazy Kyle for a while in his singles career. I used to love the matches between him and Adam Cole in ROH and what I managed to see is Sleazy Kyle in PWG and other places. I've not seen as much of his PWG work as I would like. Not going to lie to you. But I always knew he had it in him to be superb, as one might say.
And he definitely 100% solidified himself as a main eventer, as a singles wrestler with that match with Finn Balor because of the stage that he was on. So,
bearing in mind that Kyle had very little singles exposure in NXT prior to the Gauntlet match, right? I'm glad to see that Hunter and the boys are understanding what talent they've got in him. And hopefully, if he can stay fit, they can do the same with Bobby Fish as well. Because they've already done it with Roderick Strong. They've done it with Adam Cole. They're doing it with Kyle O'Reilly. They can do it with Bobby Fish. Because Bobby Fish was also at the top of the ROH card for a very long time.
If I remember right, O'Reilly and Fish also feuded with each other over the ROH title, if I remember right.
So did Fish and Cole. So did... Yeah. So
like, you have four guys. And I like the one thing when they're doing that build-up video for Balor versus O'Reilly. And it pretty much was like, any of these guys can step in and be a tag team. Any of these guys can step in and be NXT champion. Any of these guys can step in and beat North American champion. You know, like, these guys are so interchangeable with each other. That's what makes Undisputed Era so good and so scary at the same time. Because of that ability to do that with all four members.
Yeah.
And now it's Kyle's time, and I'm all for it just as much as you are, man. Yeah, it's exciting.
So what's your positive in wrestling?
Oh man, it's really hard because I've also been very busy. Like, you know, mm-hmm. I worked four straight days of doubles. So I'm just gonna have to go with the returns of Tony and Ember Moon. It's good to see Ember come back from the injury. We all know that she thought at one point that it was going to be a career-threatening injury for her, and she didn't think that she was going to be able to come back and wrestle. So it's really good for Ember to be able to come back, but most importantly, also come back to NXT and actually get a lot of fresh matchups where she's going to be able to go up against Rhea Ripley, Io Shirai, Dakota Kai, several others that are on that locker room. And then now you also have Toni Storm coming to the main NXT roster, where she is, she's finally able to branch out a bit more. We're able to get to see her more often. Just kind of like the same thing with Ember Moon, you're going to get some more new fresh matchups, which is going to be really good for the NXT women's division by just pretty much bringing in Ember and Tony. So yeah, when I look at that, it's definitely the positives of Ember and Tony making the returns to NXT. Obviously Tony hasn't officially come back yet, but it's still exciting that she is coming back, and it's great to see Ember back.
So, Ember Moon, nice.
Yeah, well, I did Ember and Tony.
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah, because, I mean, like I said, you know, it's a refresh to the NXT women's division. You're going to get all these new matchups now by just...
What do you think of this new look that Ember Moon's got? She's a bit more Mad Max now.
You know, it's kind of it's a kind of a refresh thing for her, because she had been kind of doing, I guess, the She-Wolf thing originally, which I guess she still has elements of that.
She doesn't really, though, does she? Like, she doesn't have the feathers anymore, or any of the warrior goddess. I think I don't even think she has the contacts anymore. She's got like a streak of face paint.
Yeah,
it's like she's come out of a Mad Max movie.
Yeah, I honestly don't know. I wasn't able to watch NXT last night as of recording, because I was in another recording session. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. Like, it's something where when I watch NXT, I kind of gotta watch it and see what we're getting. I don't even know if her entrance music is the same. She may have all new entrance music too. So I don't know. It's something I got.
I just sent you a link to what she looks like now.
Oh, that's an actual video. Yeah, so she doesn't have the contacts.
Nope.
She definitely has like a Mad Max thing. But I think also when she had that jacket when she came back, she did have like a wolf fur or something like that. Yeah, but she definitely has like the Mad Max look. So I'll look at that later.
Yeah. We're
obviously recording right now, but yeah, but like I said, I don't even know if her music's the same. So for all we know, she could have whole new music.
Yeah. Yeah.
So with that, we'll have to figure out a time for next week to do the post WWE draft.
Yeah, maybe. It'll be interesting to see where things go, right? Because I think that's what the post draft's going to be, is talking about what potential feuds can come out of it, right?
What potential feuds, how does it affect current storylines if one person goes to another brand compared mm-hmm. to another, or, you know, stuff like that. So yeah, there's definitely, you know, there's definitely quite a few things that will be coming out of it, definitely. So, Ben, where can the peeps find you on the social medias?
You can find me on Twitter at...
at Bob T. Goldfish.
You can find me doing Awesome Mania's sister show, Voices from the Grid, at
txhthockey.com/VFTG.
And on Twitter at
VFTG_PR.
And if you case you didn't pick up on it, Voices from the Grid is a Power Rangers podcast. We've been putting out season one, where we review the episodes as we go. We've been kind of dumping episodes of season one. We're not going to lie, right? That's because we were delayed on production and we wanted to get them out before the end of the year. Yep. Take a bit of a Christmas break.
Yep.
And then come back in the new year with season two with one episode a week.
Starting January 6th.
Yep.
This is actually the first time we're saying it publicly.
We've actually just announced we just announced the release date, man. We got to get to work.
But we will say this: season one is actually going to officially end on November 16th, which is the Power Ranger draft.
Yep.
That's actually how we're going to end season one.
Yeah, we actually did a video.
Yeah.
Episode in there as well.
We'll get to that because we can do that with our Awesome Mania one in a bit. That's true.
But yeah, Voices from the Grid. You can find me writing about my experiences with Power Rangers. What is now, as of next week, which will be the 10th one to come out on the Monday, will then become a monthly column. Because quite frankly, I'm running out of content to write about and I can't watch 40 episodes of Power Rangers in 2 weeks anymore. I just don't have it in me. Oh my God, it's bad. Why does Overdrive exist? Seriously, dude, I'm eight episodes in.
I saw your text in the group
chat. Eight episodes in and they've had four new Zords already. But the actual hell.
And anyway. You can find that at txhthockey.com/Ben's-Journey.
As I said, the next one will come out this next Monday will be the Wild Force review. And don't worry, there won't be a lack of content because on the Mondays when I used to upload that I'm not anymore, the other members of Voices from the Grid will be stepping up with a column called Musings from the Grid, where they will be writing about all things Power Rangers, and it won't be so much
show or focused.
Yeah. It could be news-based. It could be Brian does a toy review or talks about a Sentai series. It could be Sasha says why she loves Bridge so much. Spoiler, he's Jewish. And he's great. Just why he was my number one overall pick. Spoiler! But yeah, it could be that Musings from the Grid could be anything, so keep your eye on that.
Yeah,
More about that to come.
Yeah, and I might be able to tap into some of my contacts to maybe get some interviews. Yeah,
we get some interviews or guest columns, or I might get my friend Tim to write one, or whatever, we know, right?
Yeah, there's endless possibilities.
Musings from the Grid will exist.
Yes.
Which
means there's two more pages I gotta create. No, one more page I gotta
create. One more page.
Yeah.
I'm gonna get a graphic for it as well.
Yep.
Other than that, you can find me 6 out of 7 days a week streaming over at
twitch.tv/321_TV.
Usually starting between 9 and 11 o'clock in the morning, usually closer between 10 and 11, but the last couple of days I've been starting a little bit early, and I tend to stream 6 out of 7 days of the week and just take one day off. Not sure what day that will be this week. Kind of wish it was Monday, but it wasn't. But yeah, that's it for me.
Yep. You can find me on Twitter at @thelindabomb75, Facebook at facebook.com/x75productions. And of course, everything is also on txhthockey.com for this show specifically /awesomemania. And of course, I'm also on Twitch. I get on when I can, depending on how my work schedule is. And that is twitch.tv/themichaelx75. Also, if Ben is not on, or if Ben is live on 321 and I'm not live, I'm actually hosting him on my channel. Mm-hmm. So you can, so if you happen to be on my channel, you can actually watch Ben. So
thumbs up.
Yep. And if I am actually live at the same time as then and I go off air, I actually go raid Ben to have people watch him.
Are we going to talk about the thing?
Yes. Yeah, so, ladies and gentlemen, we don't have times. We don't have official dates. We just know it's happening. But Halloween weekend is DerpyCon Online.
DerpyCon, baby!
We will have a special edition of Awesome Mania. Derpy Mania 3 is kind of the code name for it. And then also we're going to have an episode of Voices from the Grid. Like I said, I don't know date. I don't know which specific of date of the 3 days. I don't know what times of the 3 days, but it is going to be happening. But once we get that, we'll obviously put out like a little presser on the website.
We have already recorded them.
Yep. I actually cannot upload them to YouTube yet until Halloween weekend, which is hilarious because I actually have the Voices from the Grid episode ready. Mm-hmm. To actually like put into the rotation for the schedule because that's supposed to go out November 13th. But yeah, once it's actually Halloween weekend, I can actually upload the videos onto YouTube and then put them into the website and get them in the rotation. So like Awesome Mania's the special for DerpyCon, that will actually probably come out November 2nd. And then the Voices from the Grid one will come out November 13th.
Okay, cool.
So
that's when it will come out for us.
Yeah, on our website.
We absolutely encourage you to go check out DerpyCon. Check out their website at
DerpyCon.com.
Okay. And actually check out the panels live because that way we get to do more of them.
Yeah, like I know, I can tell you firsthand because I'm friends with the head of the con. Anthony has been putting in a lot of work and he's been posting all these progress updates on Facebook. Watch the stuff live. Show DerpyCon love. They've been nothing but great to X75 Productions as a whole. And also just give us these opportunities to entertain you guys for them. So definitely check them out. DerpyCon.com. And I believe it's just look up Facebook at DerpyCon on Facebook. You'll see a lot on there too. So with that, Ben, take us out.
There's a lot to be said, right? It's a tumultuous time. There are debates happening. There are so many crazy things happening in the world. But we will always say, guys, gals, and non-aligned pals, in the words of the 16th President of the United States, Abraham Lincoln, be excellent to each other. Party on, non-gender-specific honorifics.
Until next time, we'll see you ringside.
Peace!